Alors dernièrement, on va avoir Dr. Nicole Ives, qui est professeur ici à McGill, dans le département de travail social. And Dr. Ives was responsible for the dossier on immigration and faith-based groups. Alors, elle était responsable pour le dossier sur l'immigration et les groupes religieux. Suite à Dr. Ives, on va avoir des questions. On va ouvrir le plancher à vous et après la conclusion finale.
Okay, good afternoon. My dossier looked at the intersection of faith-based groups and migration, and specifically it looked at the ways in which religious congregations work with immigrants and refugees. Is this going to, okay. Religious congregations have historically been involved in service provision for communities either on their own, in partnership with other congregations, or working with secular organizations in the provision of social services. In Black communities, congregations have long been purveyors of services, as well as facilitators of access to community programs, as well as resources. I'm going to give you a little bit of the background context for religious congregations and social service, as well as migration, and then bring the two together. And after, provide you with some examples of the ways in which congregations were working with newcomers in Montreal. In terms of the settlement context, resettling refugees and immigrants are faced with numerous challenges. These include, which is key, learning a new language for many, addressing mental health issues, finding a stable residence, developing strategies for being economically self-sufficient in the long term, in addition to familiarizing themselves with a new culture or cultures. There are multiple actors that can be involved in this, and for the purposes of the study, I thought about integration as participation in the social, economic, cultural, and civic domains. One of the actors that can be involved in facilitating integration for newcomers is the religious congregation on the meso level, and that's the area that I'm going to be talking about today. There are many ways in which social workers, and I'm coming at this from a social work perspective, can be involved with facilitating integration for refugees and immigrants. Involvement with immigrants and refugees is not new for religious communities. Congregations have provided considerable financial and human resource needs for resettlement for immigrants and refugees. There are different ways that they can be involved. For example, informal programs, such as providing basics in terms of material donations, food, housing assistance, provision of transportation to job interviews, help with job applications, interviews, as well as workplace practices, and helping parents with school enrollment, as well as providing emotional support. Congregations can also be involved in more focused ways, more formal programs, which include physical protection, and I'll talk about an example that I heard from the data for as a sanctuary example, language assistance programs, employment resource and referral, social support, and assistance and guidance with cultural adjustment challenges. What's interesting is that involvement by congregations has been found to improve outcomes for refugees and immigrants, specifically in terms of employment, host country language acquisition, English and French, community integration from participants' perspectives, not necessarily from a government definition of integration, and also overall experiences of resettlement have been better than if they had just received assistance from a settlement agency alone. Some congregations serve populations with whom they have a previous association, such as a religious or ethnic affiliation, and other congregations are involved with serving the community more broadly, regardless of faith background. So I know you heard from Dr. Torchina this morning about the findings from the 2006 census. I just wanted to touch on a few because it shows the growing number of refugees and immigrants in Montreal and then the impact that this can have for Montreal's Black churches. Between 1991 and 2000, more than 27 Black persons immigrated to Canada and now live in Montreal. From 2001 to 2006, Nearly 23,000 more black immigrants arrived in Montreal. And African countries are now the largest source of immigrants into the black community. That's over, in the last 5 years, more than half of black immigrants. According to the 2006 census, from 2001 to 2006, black African immigrants have increased their numbers in Montreal by 11,000, the majority of whom are coming from the Democratic Republic of Congo. As a direct result, congregations, as well as other community organizations in the neighborhoods in which these immigrants have settled, are targeting greater resources to meet the needs of this population. For the study interviewees, congregants and or clients of congregational programs included individuals who were originally from Angola, Benin, Burkina Faso, Burundi, Cameroon, Republic of Congo, Brazzaville, Democratic Republic of Congo, Gabon, Ivory Coast, Nigeria, Rwanda, Senegal, Sudan, and Togo, as well as Caribbean countries such as Barbados, Haiti, Jamaica, Martinique, and Trinidad and Tobago. So you can see the diversity of backgrounds and experiences that religious congregations in Montreal are working with. For this study, we had 20 interviews that we conducted in Montreal. And the interviews, the representation ranged from small congregations to the largest congregation, the largest black church in Montreal. There were pastors, a chaplain, a church program coordinator, an outreach director, key informants who were immigrants who had landed immigrant status, as well as someone representing the CLSC. And the interviews focused on the role of faith-based entities in providing social services, strengthening families, and promoting cohesion in the black communities of Montreal. So I'm going to talk about four areas that congregations had programs. And what was interesting was that for these congregations, they folded the general functioning of the congregation was the ministry to immigrants and refugees. And so you'll see in terms of the integration activities that it became kind of interwoven with their general activities. So there were general integration activities, and I'll give you an example of two. There was a sanctuary initiative, food bank programs, and programs for immigrant elders. Oops. Did I go back? Is that okay?
No,
it's okay. Okay. So from a practical perspective, one pastor highlighted that the adaptations he employed to meet the needs of newcomers, he folded into his sermons. He noted that the content of his sermons was less in a traditional expository vein and more focused on integration guidance. So I just wanted to read you this quote. Now it's really small. We'll see if we can get it back. No, okay. Take off my glasses. So the pastor noted, "It should be noted that even during Sunday worship, at the time of my homily, of my preaching, I tackle subjects for about 40 to 50 minutes, even an hour, on insertion and welcoming programs. Thus, instead of preaching on the angels, on Joseph and Mary, how they became engaged, how Jesus was born, I preach on integration in Quebec. People benefit a lot at the big assembly on Sunday." Okay, yeah, that's the next one. Thanks. Another example of integration activities is language support. And what was very interesting was that one congregation offered French classes, particularly targeting immigrant parents, purposefully so that they could improve their marketability on the labor market, as well as increase their communication abilities, not only with the wider French-speaking community of Montreal, but particularly with the French school system in which their children were enrolled. What came up, though, for this congregation was that the congregation ran into challenges when other congregation members who were Canadian-born also wanted to be included in these French language classes. So congregants who were Anglophone and members of the Montreal community who were also struggling with French. However, the congregation was not able to provide this outreach to the wider Canadian-born black population. They were only eligible in terms of their funding to provide it to newcomers. Very briefly, one congregation that we interviewed was involved in a sanctuary initiative. And Canadian churches have been providing protection as well as material and psychosocial legal assistance for newcomers who are facing deportation. The denomination of this church that provided the sanctuary for also the interviewee who I spoke with was the United Church of Canada. And a study has found that the majority of churches offering sanctuary are, in fact, from the denomination United Church of Canada. This is advantageous to congregations to be connected to a national denominational infrastructure, not only for sanctuary initiatives, but also in terms of accessing larger resources. Another program that congregations were involved with were food programs. And among immigrants, membership in an ethnic congregation provides opportunity for worship and religious activities, but at the same time, it also provides a sense of home through familiar food. So the interviews talked about the different types of programs that they provided. One was an ongoing Meals on Wheels program. And one interviewee noted that the majority of the clients were Black, including recent Black immigrants, because of the food requirements. They wanted to eat African food or Caribbean food, again, to have this sense of connection to home. Okay. Older refugees and immigrants that are resettling in a host country are a particularly vulnerable population, and they can be hard to reach due to linguistic isolation and limited or no involvement in the workplace. Immigrant elders face considerable barriers in the areas of French and English language acquisition, if that is not their first language, and as well as labor market participation and social networking. So one congregation was actively involved in creating linkages between immigrant elders and the wider community and hoped that these connections would be able to provide a familiar cultural context for them. So he noted, the church gets organized to help them get tools, how to function in that hard context for them. The church gives them supervision and the necessary support, moral, spiritual, and psychological. To be sure, they're always under supervision, so they feel like they're in a real family in Africa. There was another congregation that was also involved in providing housing assistance, particularly targeting immigrant elders. So very quickly, I just wanted to note some implications for social work practice, because I think that there are many ways in which social workers can, who are looking to partner, who are working in settlement activities to partner, should consider recruiting congregations, because congregations are already working in this area. And whether it's to reduce or to avoid duplication of services or to strengthen existing services, congregations should be a partner that social workers consider. Another way that social workers can be involved is to support congregations in the work that they are already doing. Social workers are well suited to develop training to provide resources and referrals for congregational partners, particularly around cultural competency or issue-specific skill sets that address the immediate needs of recent refugees as well as immigrants. Congregations work with refugees and immigrants can connect them to a source of social capital that can provide opportunities for them to broaden their networks and provide resources for support, mutual aid, as well as access to jobs and other benefits. So I think that this is an area that certainly deserves much more study. This was an exploratory study, and I'm very glad to be thinking about future opportunities. One, I think it would be very important to explore the extent to which congregational assistance to Black immigrants has provided opportunities within this congregation for leadership development. Another idea is to conduct a systematic evaluation of congregational programs that provide informal or formal support and services to refugees and immigrants, and as well to conduct a census of congregations in Montreal to better understand the scope of congregational engagement in Montreal's Black communities. This study was basically the tip of the iceberg, I think, in terms of looking at the types of programs and services that Montreal's Black churches provide to newcomers. And I think a widespread census in order to not only look at the types of programs they're offering to newcomers, but also the wider Black community would be an excellent resource. Thank you.